Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from that YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and those of you that have been waiting for the kind of usual weekly episode where I'm joined by Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales, apologies, there is no usual weekly episode this week. And that is because the world of F1 has been kicking off. As much as Tony is a sort of F1 viewer, he's not a sort of nerdy fan like me. And I really want to nerd out on the world of F1 in this episode. So I told him to take a week off. But don't worry, he'll be back. Regular episodes will resume next week. So next Monday, Tony will be back for the regular format. Those of you that aren't sort of big F1 fans or really don't care about it at all, you may want to skip this episode. However, the state of the sport has been so dramatic over the last 5 days that maybe it will interest you to continue listening. Also, I have a bit of a sort of juicy surprise towards the end of the episode because I had a chat with Formula One world champion Nico Rosberg yesterday. Yes, actual Nico Rosberg. And that's because on Sunday, I'm going to be participating in the next F1 eSports Challenge, which is kind of Heineken Legends special. So basically, this is a series that Formula One have been doing using F1 2019. And on Sunday, Nico Rosberg, David Coulthard, I think Robert Doornbos and Roberto Carlos, the footballer, are going to be participating in a whole load of sort of challenges. One of which is a race against sort of a load of online celebrities. That's an awful thing to say, isn't it? Recognizable online personalities, which apparently I am one. So yes, I'm going to be racing Nico Rosberg, David Coulthard, all those people I just mentioned on Formula One 2019, the game, using a simulator, which was very kindly sent to me by Heineken. So big thanks to those guys. So yeah, I had a chance to chat with Nico yesterday. Didn't really have a chance to sort of quiz him too much about the crazy driver changes. We spoke about it very briefly, but then it was more to talk about what would be happening on Sunday. But always great to catch up with him. So yeah, stay tuned. That's towards the end of this episode. But look, let me sort of, you know, bring you up to speed just in case you haven't seen all the news from this week. Maybe you've been, you know, I don't know what you've been doing, but maybe you haven't seen it. So earlier on in the week, the shock announcement came that Sebastian Vettel and Ferrari were ending their partnership at the end of 2020. Now, I say shocking, it was, but I don't think it was that surprising, if that makes any sense, because on this podcast and in many forms of media, it has been discussed for quite a while now whether Vettel maybe was going to be sort of running out of time at Ferrari. 2019 wasn't really his year. Charles Leclerc kind of stepped up to the plate and slightly upset the mold in the sense that he outperformed Vettel, and Vettel made some sort of some uncharacteristic mistakes, but maybe they weren't that uncharacteristic. But anyway, he was looking unsettled, and people started to say, well, maybe this is going to be the end of his time at the Prancing Horse, or with the Prancing Horse. And whilst those conversations have kind of died down, because obviously Formula One hasn't really been able to kickstart its season like so many other sports because of the coronavirus pandemic, it took us by surprise that they announced it, but I think people were like, okay, well, you know, we kind of get it. Sorry, I had to clear my throat there. But yes, they announced that as of the end of this year, whether we race or not, they were going to be calling an end to their time together. Which, you know, it is sad because Vettel, he's a kind of Marmite character, isn't it? I think people love him or hate him. I always found him quite hard to support on track, but thought he was the nicest guy in person and in real life. But I often was supporting whoever he was racing, his kind of rival, so I would always be like, boo, Vettel. But he's obviously a very talented guy. You don't become four-time world champion without talent. It did feel like that kind of blown diffuser Red Bull era was his era of the sport. And since we've moved on to the sort of the hybrids, it hasn't quite worked out for him in the same way. He hasn't looked as confident, hasn't looked been sort of, you know, as capable as he was back in those Red Bull days, but still had a huge amount of victories. I think he's the third most successful Ferrari driver ever. That can't be knocked and ignored. But he definitely went to Ferrari with the kind of aim of reenacting is the wrong word, but you know, but blah, blah, blah. His hero always, Michael Schumacher. That was his sort of inspiration. And I think he wanted to live up to the success that Schumacher had over at Ferrari, but didn't quite happen for him. So sad to see him move on. But the question is, I suppose, what happens now? Where does he go? What does he do? And we're going to come back to it in a little bit. But quite interesting, I thought, in the sort of, in his statement when they announced that he would be leaving the team. He very much spoke about sort of reflecting on life and the fact that coronavirus had made him sort of take some time out and look at what he wants and what's important to him. And it kind of almost sounded like he said he was going to retire. But I think the thing is, if he was going to retire, it would have been a retirement announcement. He would have come out and said, guys, I'm stepping back from the sport. But no, he didn't. So I do think he is still looking for somewhere to race. But the statement, I read a lot into his statement. But anyway, let's come on to the sort of the other two big stories from the week before coming back to, you know, where does Vettel go now? Or what happens to Vettel now? Because quickly the rumor mill began. Who's going to replace Sebastian Vettel? What's going to happen? And it became quite clear quite quickly that Carlos Sainz and Daniel Ricciardo were the two favorites for Vettel's Ferrari seat. Both kind of theoretically out of contract towards the end of 2020 as well, and had potential to move around. And it seemed to be that's who Ferrari were kind of eyeing up. Plenty of other people out there that they could have potentially gone with. A sort of real outside rogue choice of Sergio Perez. Let's not forget that back in the day, he was sort of touted as a future Ferrari Formula One world champion when he was still at Sauber. Then he went the McLaren route instead. I put a tweet out saying, what about Daniel Kvyat? Let's not forget, he took a year out as their test driver when Red Bull sort of, you know, dumped him so unceremoniously a few years ago. And then, of course, Antonio Giovinazzi, who's been racing for Alfa Romeo. But I think all three of those felt like pretty outside choices. And so it did come down to kind of Sainz or Ricciardo. I think a lot of people wanted to see Danny Ric. And news came later in the week that it was going to be Carlos Sainz. So that is now the confirmed lineup for Ferrari in 2021. Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz. Now, I'm actually a bit of a Sainz fan. Attending a few races last year, 2019, he has a huge sort of star appeal in the paddock, I felt. Like every race I went to, he seemed to have endless fans chasing him around, seemed to be shaking hands with all the sort of the big players in the paddock. And he got some amazing results, very consistent results. Again, not too many headlines apart from that surprise podium in Brazil. But sixth in the Drivers' Championship is pretty damn impressive. Okay, fine. McLaren were fourth in the Constructors, so arguably he should have been seventh. But because of Red Bull's, you know, sort of uncertainty with their second driver switching from Gasly to Albon, it opened up the opportunity for him to steal sixth. And he did. And I think that's impressive and can't be ignored. He hasn't maybe had the chance to do the big shouty results of the likes of a Verstappen and a Leclerc, etc. But will he now get that at Ferrari? I would assume, looking at Ferrari's past, they've signed him as a kind of, you know, a number two driver, a solid number two. They've definitely invested in Leclerc. They think he's their future star. He's the guy who's going to go on and win championships for them. And it would be very un-Ferrari for them to put what they feel were two highly competitive young drivers into the team. So I think they do feel like Leclerc's got the upper hand of Sainz. But I think once Carlos kind of, you know, beds himself in, I think he's going to be a strong competitor there. And I don't think it's going to be a Hamilton-Bottas situation. I think it's far more likely to be a sort of Raikkonen-Massa kind of deal. Is that fair? I'm not really sure who else has been evenly matched over the years. But anyway, you know, there we have it. So let's wait and see. But Carlos Sainz confirmed for Ferrari, which meant there was an empty seat at McLaren. And obviously, kind of people have figured out by this point, if Ferrari chose Carlos, Danny Ric would more than likely go to McLaren, which he has now done. So confirmed 2021 McLaren's lineup, Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo. Now, some of you will know this, not all of you will know it, but before Danny Wick signed with Renault when he left Red Bull, he very nearly signed with McLaren, but chose Renault at the last minute. So it kind of feels like Renault was a bit of a hiccup, a bit of a blip, and he's ended up where he kind of should have been in the first place. But if you look back at 2018, Renault were definitely outperforming McLaren quite sort of, you know, strongly, and it seemed like the more obvious choice. But last year, 2019, McLaren obviously had a very, very strong year and looked like they were on the sort of upward trend. So I think it's exciting. I know social media went mad for the thought of Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo in a team, because two of the sort of ultimate jokers and prankers of the Formula One grid are now being teamed together. It reminds me a bit of a Lacey and Berger at Benetton or Ferrari. You know, just two guys, you know, a lot of fun, big characters, big personalities. I hope McLaren soon, you know, reach the top three or challenging for race victories and podiums. And I think for McLaren to have Daniel Ricciardo on board, they've got a proven race winner there now, which is maybe what they needed, because as impressive as Sainz and Norris were last year, you know, Danny Rick is the kind of guy that steals victories and podiums out of nowhere. If you look back at his track record, he's not always in a position on the grid or going into a race to kind of be ending up where he has. And a lot of his victories have come kind of, you know, from surprising situations. So I think he's the kind of guy that will push McLaren even further forward. And I think it's a big scoop for them. So fingers crossed that kind of pans out. But I have to say, it's pretty damning for Renault. You know, they paid big, big money. It was a big scoop for them when they signed Danny Rick. Really impressive. Everyone was like, wow, that's, you know, that's a big sort of certification of their intent. And now for Danny to kind of fly out the door as quickly as he has done after one fairly dodgy season, if I was Renault, I'd be pretty upset. And it makes me question how long we're going to see Renault in the sport. You know, they like to come and go as a manufacturer anyway. And with all this coronavirus stuff going on and global financial pressures, I just worry if they're now going to go, well, what is the point? However, they have the chance to kind of scoop two of the biggest names around the sport for the last 10 years, because let's now come back to Mr. Sebastian Vettel. Basically a free agent, as far as we know, unless he sort of already pre-agreed a contract with someone that just hasn't been announced. Theoretically a free agent, and there are still a ton of seats available on that 2021 grid. However, I do think it's sort of unlikely we're going to see him go to a midfield team. I don't think this is a kind of like a slow decline towards retirement. I don't think we're going to see him at Alfa Romeo or Racing Point, Aston Martin, any of those likes. So I think he's going to try and remain competitive. Renault, you'd have to say, is a bit of a gamble. You know, they had a pretty shocking 2019 and they didn't look miraculously quick in 2020 preseason testing, but who knows? They are, of course, a manufacturer team with lots of sort of, you know, investment and opportunities. So maybe he sees that challenge and he likes it. But it's a bit of a gamble. For Renault, it would be amazing, I think. If Renault picked up Vettel, that would be a big, big shout. And for them, it would help with their PR story. And fundamentally, financially, they sort of got used to having to pay Ricciardo. So I'm sure they could stomach having to pay Vettel as well, who is the second highest paid driver, or was the second highest paid driver in F1. Vettel's kind of only realistic other choice is Mercedes. And some of you might be like, what? But let me come back to that. Red Bull, I think, is a no-go, because even though they haven't confirmed Albon yet for 2021, I think they will do so. And let's not forget, Verstappen is locked in at Red Bull. And Vettel hasn't handled competitive teammates well in the past. If you look at Daniel Ricciardo back at Red Bull, and then obviously Charles Leclerc more recently, I don't see him wanting to take on Verstappen, especially in a team that's been really built around Verstappen in recent years. And Red Bull kind of came out pretty quickly saying, look, we're not going to be able to afford Vettel. We're not really looking at him. So I would be surprised to see him go back there. Mercedes actually haven't confirmed either of their drivers for 2021 yet. I think we're all strongly suspecting that Hamilton will renew his contract there. Obviously, those rumours of him potentially going to Ferrari at some point got pretty quickly squashed at the beginning of this year. I feel like last year, maybe it was a Hamilton negotiating tactic to kind of say, oh, I'd love to drive for Ferrari. But yeah, that did kind of get squashed at the beginning of this year. And it looks pretty likely that he'll re-sign with Mercedes. Why not? They're the best team and they have such global appeal. It's easy for him to kind of expand his brand with Mercedes as a whole. Bottas is the big question mark, though. You know, he's been getting year extensions each year. He's really not been looking convincing, you know, in that sort of position. Yes, he's a solid number two, but he didn't even do that fantastic a job last year, I don't think, in that number two seat. And whilst Mercedes probably quite like the sort of calm situation away from the, you know, the Rosberg Hamilton years, I think they would, I don't think they could ignore an opportunity to sign Sebastian Vettel, especially as a German team, getting a German world champion into that car. I think they would quite like that. However, the bill to have Hamilton and Vettel on the same team, I think would be pretty outrageous. And, you know, there are question marks as well about Mercedes, you know, intentions to stay in the sport long term and past 2021. And, you know, to sign the two highest paid drivers, the most successful drivers in the sport, yeah, it's a big financial commitment. So I don't quite see it. So where does it leave Vettel? Who knows? I have to say that I do think maybe he's headed towards retirement. I'm just surprised he didn't announce that. Let's wait and see. It's exciting times, but that's definitely, I think, the big piece that we're waiting to see where it falls. The other sort of small thing that I should mention is obviously social media went a bit mad when Ricciardo left Renault with the thoughts that maybe this could be Alonso's opportunity to return to the sport. A lot of noise has been made around Alonso over the last sort of 6 months or so and his desires to get back into F1. And obviously he won his two world championships with Renault at that Enstone team. He returned there after his disastrous year with McLaren before moving to Ferrari. It would kind of be poetic, I think, for him to go and rejoin the sport with Renault. I'm not that fussed if it happens or not. I've never really been a big Alonso fan. And I feel like if I was Renault and I was trying to rebuild this team and try and get back to winning ways, would I want Alonso on board? I'm not sure. You know, his reputation isn't fantastic for team morale, team building. He tends to divide the teams quite a lot in the garage. And I think I don't think it would be the right, you know, sort of person to bring on board to help push the whole sort of team forward. But maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? And, you know, he would still know a lot of the members of the Renault team from his days there, you know, probably back in, what, 2008, 2009. So let's wait and see. It's so interesting. It's so exciting. We haven't had one race this year. However, this week has just made the sport unbelievably exciting again. And so the big chess piece really is, you know, what's going to happen with Sebastian Vettel? Where does he try and end up? I'm sure he's on the phone to a few different teams just sussing things out. But I do personally see Mercedes and Renault as his only options. Lots of talks of whether he could go to IndyCar. He's never really spoken about IndyCar, has he? But I guess maybe, because there's talk now that Ferrari could be going to IndyCar. So many unknowns. But maybe this won't be the last F1 special podcast of the year, depending on what happens. But for now, I'm going to hold breath and I'm going to switch to my chat with Nico Rosberg from yesterday. So as a reminder for you, on Sunday, I'm going to be participating in the F1 Esports Challenge Series Heineken Legends special, where I will be racing against Nico Rosberg, David Coulthard, Robert Doornbos, Roberto Carlos, the footballer, and a whole load of other people. Tune in from 6 p.m. UK time on the F1 YouTube channel and many other areas. I'll put a lot of posts on my social media so you can check out where to see it. But we'll take a short break, and then when I'm back, I'll be joined by Nico Rosberg. I hope you enjoy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Nico, I think we last saw each other at Abu Dhabi at the end of last year when I made you promise that I could one day drive your Formula One car for a video. I'm not sure if you agreed or not.
Yeah, that was really pushing things a little bit. I mean, never say never. It could still happen. The chances are kind of slimming at the moment.
Unfortunately, with the world the way it is, I'm not sure how it's going to work out. But who would have thought back then that, you know, if we'd said that there hadn't been a Formula One race by June next year, I think we both would have thought we were crazy. But that's the way we've ended up.
Add on top of that all the different driver changes.
I mean,
without even having had a race. It's unbelievable.
What a week we've had. I mean, it's been ridiculous out of nowhere. So I think we were all getting kind of a little bit bored. And did you see any of it coming?
No, not really at all, actually. No, because I would have expected Vettel to remain at Ferrari. I thought Ricciardo, where would he go? I don't know. I didn't think things would spiral out of control so quickly.
So quickly, but then also all the parts fell into place so quickly. That's what was so weird. Like, you know, from the announcement that Vettel was leaving, suddenly it was like, oh yeah, Sainz is in, Ricciardo's off to McLaren, bish, bash, bosh.
Believe me, the time it takes to figure out contracts in the background, like things just don't click in like that. You know, it takes weeks and weeks and weeks to negotiate, get contracts done. So and to have managed all of them to keep it so confidential and then just bang, 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 bang it out all in one go. That's pretty impressive. And obviously Vettel was the key off the chain.
Absolutely. I don't know about you, but I'm now like desperate for the 2021 season just to be here, just to start. Like, that's all I want.
Of course, yeah. We're all looking forward to it. You know, we're all F1 fans. We all love to watch the racing. So the sooner it can get going, the better. And I know for the who would theoretically be at those tracks, it sucks that they can't go then. But for all of us, come on. I mean, we all prefer to see races without fans at the track than no races. So I think it's a good compromise, and can't wait to get going and see who's going to come out the blocks first. And I also think it will be interesting because we mustn't underestimate, like take Roger Federer as an example. If Roger Federer would stop practicing tennis for 5 months and then go to the Grand Slam straight away, I guarantee you his skill would be so far off where he was before that period. And that's going to be the same for the F1 drivers, because the F1 driver skill is exactly that kind of finesse skill that's required to be great at tennis. It's exactly the same thing. And some guys are going the simulator route. Some guys are not doing any simulator. I it seems to be like Hamilton. And I'm not sure. I mean, I would definitely have gone the simulator route. I would have practiced like crazy, because chances are it can help a little bit. And if it does help a little bit, it's going to make a big difference.
I literally was going to ask you that because, yeah, we've seen a huge like disparity in how different drivers are sort of coping, but also because of the world of social media. I mean, most evenings I'm sitting there watching Charles Leclerc dressed as a banana racing on F1 2019. And I can't tell whether I think it's really fun and cool or whether it slightly removes some of the, like, you know, the shine or the star appeal of a Formula One driver. But yeah, so would you have been jumping on F1 2019 or whatever just to get some kind of practice?
Certainly, I would have done that. I would have done hours and hours every day. And I'm pretty sure I would have joined the actual esports series championship as well, just to keep in the rhythm, you know, keep the adrenaline going, keep needing to perform under pressure. It's all practice. And I practice like crazy back in my day, and I would have tried to practice as much as I could if I was in their situation.
Amazing. Well, what about now? Because the reason that we're talking is that on Sunday, somehow, we're going to be racing each other online, virtually, on a good old esports game, thanks to Heineken and F1. But are you a sort of gamer? Do you do any of the sim racing nowadays?
I used to be really quick sports world, but I haven't played, I don't know, in 10, whatever, how many years? 5 years? 6 years? So I'm at zero. I'm starting at absolute zero.
I'm secretly hopeful then. I'm very secretly hopeful. I mean, I don't play that much. Obviously, when I got this invite, I've been practicing about 14 hours a day just so that I can gloat over you next time I see you.
Whatever. I've heard rumors that you've been on it for 8 to 10 hours a day. That's what I've been told. So come on, keep it real now.
Yeah, there's probably something like that. You know, way back in the day, I think when Mark Webber was still at Red Bull, I raced him in some kind of similar, you know, you could turn up and you could set a lap time, and if you won, you raced Mark Webber. And I did it, and I ended up racing him, and I beat him, because again, I don't think he played on the F1 game. And I was such a little teenager, I celebrated by doing the Vettel finger. I think he hated me so much. I promise not to be so rude if there are any
upsets. That was mean. That was a mean move.
But talk to me, because, you know, how are you involved with Heineken? How have you ended up taking part on Sunday? What else do you do with them throughout the year?
So Heineken had started back in 2016 when they first came to Formula One, and I met the CMO in the paddock, and I went to him and I said, please, if ever the day comes where you particularly bring out a Heineken 00, I've been using alcohol-free beer as a training recovery all throughout my career, because it's like the best recovery drink. So I went to him, I was like, please, if ever you bring that out, come to speak to me. I'd love to be an ambassador for that. And then a couple of years forward, I was retired, and I went speaking to them again, and they said, Nico, now's the time. Come and join us. When you drive, never drink campaign is coming out as well for a good cause, you know, and 00. And so then I became their ambassador, and we've been working together now for so many years. And now I'm looking forward to this stunt that we're doing together now, bringing together so many different legends and racing out on the esports track. And we even have a YouTube legend joining us.
You can't say the word legend. As I said to you last time I saw you, you are officially now a bigger and better YouTuber than I am, which, you know, I think has to be applauded. I probably need to go and do some practice of my own somewhere. But no, hey, it's so cool.
Corona has destroyed my YouTube career.
That's exactly it. I mean, for all of us, right? I've been sitting at home. I mean, my YouTube channel is about driving cool cars in cool places. And instead, I've been having to play with toy cars or playing on online or games. I mean, it's not quite the same, but thank God my audience haven't completely disappeared on me. But no, I'm super excited for me to be able to get involved with this.
What's the best video you managed to do in quarantine? What was the best video for you?
That I've made or that I've seen?
No, that you've made yourself.
Oh, good question. You know what I've done a lot? If I filmed a lot of like coffee making vlogs. I've taken a bit of like Jon Olsen inspiration there and like slow-mo'd coffee making in about 14 different videos. But I've been looking back a lot on last year. So I don't know. I can't remember if I saw you. I was doing that round the world trip. So I've got so much extra footage. So I've just been like repackaging it and showing some stuff that people hadn't seen before. Even from our time in Monaco when you were doing the stuff with the Formula E safety car and stuff. So just little extra bits people hadn't seen. It's the easiest thing to do. And of course, practicing on my e-racing, which is what we're going to be getting into on Sunday. But look, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time because I know time is precious during lockdown. We've all got things to be doing, like watching Netflix. Just quickly, what have you been doing during lockdown? Where are you exactly, apart from we've established in your cellar? Where have you been staying? How have you been passing the time?
I'm in my cellar because usually we're in the bedroom for doing work, but the kids are going to sleep, so that would not have been a good idea. So I'm going to sell it for this one. But we're here in Ibiza in our house now since 3 months. A lucky situation because we have a garden, so we can really enjoy the family time. So we're really fortunate. Actually, I did my first trip yesterday, and I flew to Germany because I'm on the German Dragon's Den for the Americans. Sorry for the Americans watching. It's the Shark Tank. So I'm on the German version of that. And so I had the last 2 days of filming yesterday. It's very exciting because I consider myself a sustainability entrepreneur. And so there's so many like startups that are attacking sustainability. And so I invested in many of those now, and it's been an exciting journey. I really enjoy it. And so this is a new passion project of mine at the moment.
That's super cool. What is hilarious is I have been binging on so much Shark Tank on Netflix. It's literally me and my girlfriend, we watch it for hours every day because you just get hooked and you can just keep going through. And then I feel bad about life because I'm not an inventor.
Is there the latest series on Shark Tank?
There's season 9, I think. Season 9.
I've only seen the 2009 one pop up on Netflix. I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it's 2017, so they must have updated it. That's what I've been watching, a series from 2017.
Okay, I'll check it out. Amazing.
And there's one with Ashton Kutcher as well. That one's really interesting. I'm an Ashton Kutcher fan.
I saw that.
That's a good one. Oh, well, look, mate, I appreciate you taking the time and popping down to the cellar. I'm super excited for Sunday. I think it's going to be a blast. And hey, like, what a crazy week we've had in the world of F1. I think who knows what might happen in the weeks and months ahead. We've still got Mercedes have got to confirm who's going to be driving for them in 2021. Renault, who's going to be replacing Ricciardo. There's so much to figure out. I'll see you probably as I overtake you on Sunday, or if I lap you on Sunday. So I'll wave as I drive past.
I'm gonna bring back my past skills.
You're gonna need them. You're gonna need them. Thanks again, buddy. We'll speak soon, I'm sure.
Well, they haven't even built up the simulator yet. There's a box right behind the screen of the new simulator. So we haven't even built it up yet.
That's going to be your excuse, that you didn't have enough practice.
That's it. I will literally have to use that excuse. I'm already using it now.
Okay? You're such a racing driver. Such a racing driver. Blaming the equipment before. Stay safe. We'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.